We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Shohei Ohtani says he is the victim in all of this. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Perloff, yesterday, Ohtani, 12 minutes with prepared statement. Did go off the statement a little bit at the end. Talked about the betrayal he's feeling, the shock he's feeling that his translator, now former translator, Ipe Mizuhara, had been in Shohei's statements lying, stealing. Shohei knew nothing about any of this. This is the story now. Shohei left no gray area. He didn't know this was all Ipe Mizuhara.
And Shohei said, I've never bet on sports in my life. So this is why I believe Shohei. Because he is set up now. He knows there's going to be an investigation by the MLB, by
the IRS, the Fed, we know.
The IRS. So he knows that everybody is going to be looking around every corner. He's saying, I never did any of this. Now, he has to know that somebody can find out if he did do any of this. So would he have the gall to come up there and say, I never bet on sports, knowing that there was proof out there that he actually did bet on sports? I can't imagine he would do that. Wouldn't he just shut up and hide?
I don't know. We just saw a translator who was his best friend every day had the gall to maybe steal $4.5 million from him, stand up in front of the Dodgers clubhouse with a mea culpa that allegedly was still a lie, which is that he came clean that Ohtani's covering his debts. And now Ohtani's saying that's not true. A lot of people have done brazen things. Mizuhara, obviously gambling addict or something, right? Because he did the ultimate brazen thing. Yes, this would be Ohtani almost matching that in his defense. Right.
But there's also some rumors that and reports, actually, that he had lied. The translator had lied about his past.
That's true.
That plays into it. Convenient reports, by the way, that the translator.
Yeah, never went to a college that never, he claimed to yes. go to. Never worked for the Red Sox like he claimed or the Yankees.
Right. It seems like he could be the impulsive liar.
Sure.
I heard him compared to the talented Mr. Ripley, Matt Damon's character in the movie where he basically steals the life from his rich friend, that this guy was in Fantasyland or something. So obviously he's going to take the fall. But if Shohei said, I never bet on sports anywhere. If anyone can find a receipt or find a picture of him in a casino or something, I just think that's a gigantic risk for Shohei to take. And to me, if he's lying, wow, is he setting himself up for trouble?
Well, yeah. I mean, unless he really didn't bet. But again, he left no gray area, yet that doesn't mean there still aren't questions here that Shohei might want to answer or need to answer at some point. Maybe not publicly, but certainly to investigators. First and foremost, how did your translator have access to your bank accounts?
Yep.
I mean, and that's number one. And even if you want to say, and Perloff, you said this before, they seem like they were even closer than family, right? Ipe and Shohei, the player and the translator, so close. But even when you're so close with somebody, there's like a threshold there, right? That giving someone your bank account info or giving them access or letting them be like a, you know, sign off on your name. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, somebody wants like ask you for a headshot, signed headshot, and oh, okay, here's Ipe, sign it for Shohei again. That would actually also be a scandal. But this is multiple $500,000 wire transfers. This is not a small. That's not a white lie.
Ipe was his voice to America.
I know.
I mean, that is a huge. You're saying it's. Of course, it's closer than family. There's nobody in my family who speaks for me. Shohei had to trust him 100% because he was basically saying, you know, he had to trust him in his translation. He had to trust him that he was going to handle this gigantic media throng that is around Shohei every day. there had to be such a level of trust. It's incredible. Much more than, I don't, you know, I like my brothers, but I don't trust them like that. I'm not going to let them go to a press conference and speak for me. I think this is a very unique relationship between translator and player.
No doubt. So David Sampson joined us earlier in the show. He is the president, former president of Miami Marlins. So he's dealt with Ichiro Suzuki and his translator that he said was a really positive relationship. But even he understood the closeness of a foreign player and their translator, and even Sampson couldn't believe that Ipe would have had access to his bank account.
And the biggest question that we needed answered is, how does the interpreter have access to your bank account? I've worked with Japanese players. I've worked with Hispanic players. I've worked with white players and black players. You can hear anything you want about how players have so much money that they don't know where their money is, and they rely on all of their friends and family to take care of their money. But $4.5 million missing from bank transfers, it's not like this is a cash business. You've got banks involved. You've got authentication requirements for ID.
Yeah, I mean, this is, if it's true that Ipe Mizuhara, Shohei Ohtani's translator, was just the perpetrator of this and Ohtani had no idea, this guy's a mastermind, you know? Like, how do you get someone's ID? How do you verify this stuff for $500,000 wire transfer?
Mastermind, I mean, it seems like low-key identity theft in a sense. I don't think that's that hard to do. I think he definitely had a lot of Shohei's passwords.
Okay, but then, I mean, we're talking about multiple $500,000 wire transfers here. Like, the fact that he could just have a password, there's no much more authentication than that, is a little scary.
I don't know. I was yelling up to my wife yesterday, hey, what's the Amazon password? That
different.
Happens every day. It is a little different, but I do think there was a level of trust that makes this at least feasible. Also, if this guy was a gambling addict, and if the narrative is true that he was lying about all this and theft, that kind of theft happens all the time.
Right.
All the time do people steal from people they work for.
Oh, I get it. I know that we've had this kind of thing happen before, but this is the other part of it to me that is just hard for me to wrap my brain around, which is, you have a relationship with somebody who is, it's so close that you would trust them with your bank information. And that's just one of the things. I mean, you're right. Shohei trusted Ipe to be his voice to America. And Shohei has so much at stake and so much pressure. And he trusted Ipe as the guy. And you're this close. You meals together, drive together to the stadium, working out together, everything. And Shohei's saying he had no idea this guy was gambling, let alone the debts. Maybe you don't know about the debts. You have no idea that this guy is into sports betting. It's just like knowing about somebody's hobbies. I know men don't maybe communicate like women do. Like, you know, I know like everything about my friends and we talk a lot. Maybe guys don't share as much about their personal lives. I'm willing to acknowledge that. But wouldn't it come up in even casual conversation? By the way, I'm watching this Premier League game, or I love college football now, or the NFL. Mm. Like, none of this would come up.
I have no idea. I mean, I'm not sure that Shohei... I have no idea what Shohei and his translator talk about on a Tuesday afternoon. I don't have the slightest clue. You're right, that does follow. It makes perfect sense. But, again, I'm not in the room with them. I'm not sure I understand that relationship.
Yeah, I just you know, if you're sports betting, and it's to this degree where you're betting on, and Ipe said this, college football, international soccer, the NFL, and the NBA... Like, you're a sports nut. You have to be. And so you wouldn't be talking about that, or in terms of point spreads or anything. Like, Shohei would say, I never knew he gambled. That's
right.
Crazy to me.
But, I mean, listen, there are many famous gambling scandals. People have gone down from gambling, and no one had any idea of the scope of it. I mean, I think of this billion. I mean, I don't think anyone understood what was happening with Craig. I heard Craig Garten talk about that. He was hiding things.
No, I know, but everyone also knew he was open and honest about he liked to play blackjack.
Yes.
So that part of it, you knew. Maybe the compulsion you didn't know. And again, Craig has talked about all this stuff personally.
Very much,
publicly, rather. But it's not like you were shocked to know that he had stepped foot in a casino. You know, Shohei is saying he's shocked to know that Ipe was betting on sports. Meanwhile, they spent every day attached to the hip. That doesn't square to me.
I hear you. I don't know a lot of people's sports gambling habits. I have no idea. And especially nowadays, because it's so widespread, I think it's taken a big leap with legal gambling.
That's
I don't,
true.
You know, vices, people sometimes keep quote unquote vices to themselves. Like, I don't really know how much people around me drop on sports gambling. It could be a lot more. I mean, there could be people in this room right now, or, you know, in six figure holes.
Are you looking at me? I know.
Over here.
Now we know everybody's penchant for one-hit wonders, but I don't think that's really a vice. We've just learned.
I think dropping money is better than Who Let the Dogs Out.
I was going to say, now we just know that Perloff's favorite band is Dexy's Midnight Runner.
Come clean, Dexy's Midnight Runner.
So the question, we have a poll question out there. Do you believe Shohei? The early results on this were not good. EJ, I don't know if you want to update us on what's going on. Now we've got some one-hit wonder stuff. All right, so still not great for Shohei on the Maggie and Perloff poll. I've got the results here if you'd like me to read them.
I was about to give them to you.
Okay, go ahead.
On the results of what, the Shohei poll?
Yep.
Yeah, so Shohei Ohtani, we asked a very simple question. Do you believe Shohei Ohtani? 22% say yes, 77% say no.
Yeah.
We kind of butchered that entire poll really right there, but that's okay.
78% of our respondents said no, they do not believe Ohtani.
Yeah.
That's a landslide.
People were
not buying it.
I voted yes. I think am I the only one in the room who actually believed Shohei?
I didn't want to skew the very scientific results we have, so I did not vote.
I also
Which way would you have voted?
No, I don't believe him.
Yeah.
No way.
I don't believe some of it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that he's not the one who is making the bets. I do believe that. I just don't believe he didn't know any of this. That part of it to me is a little bit beyond the pale. But again, we're going to find out more because Shohei also said he's going to cooperate with any investigation and there are going to be multiple. So that's the latest from Shohei. We can get to the Dodgers side of it in a moment because I thought they handled this really, really poorly as a franchise. But just as the dust was settling at Ohtani, but basically just as the Ohtani press conference was wrapping up around 6 o'clock Eastern last night, we got another betting scandal in sports, at least the tip of the iceberg on what could be pretty big. So Jonte Porter is a two-way player, played college at Mizzou, is the brother of Michael Porter Jr. on the world champion Denver Nuggets. And a story came across yesterday on ESPN that there had been some unusual betting activity on Jonte Porter's prop bets. And when they say unusual, that's kind of an understatement. Jonte Porter is a rarely used, again, two-way player that is essentially a glorified bench warmer for the Toronto Raptors. And there were two games, one in January and one earlier this month, where the unders on his prop bets, and that was points, rebounds, and assists, the unders on his prop bets hit in a huge way because the player took himself out of the game for two different reasons. One was like re-aggravating an eye injury. The other was for some kind of illness. So not that he was pulled because the team pulled him. He didn't hit these marks because he pulled himself out of the game. And in both of those nights, in both of those games in question, his prop bets were the biggest winners of the entire night of NBA sports gambling, according to, I believe it was DraftKings.
Yeah. So here's the thing. We don't know the total amount, but it seems like, how on earth did this guy think that he wouldn't get caught if millions of dollars, I don't know, again, we don't know if it's millions, but if all this money came through, you have to be able to think that through, that this is not going to work.
I think he might have been, who knows what's going on, but he's either desperate or I have no idea. But this seems to me like this is the worst nightmare for the league. And here's the thing about it, right? Shohei is one example of a really famous person getting wrapped up in a scandal like this, or Pete Rose, or whatever, these famous people. What's more likely to happen is guys like this. Guys who are making $450,000 a year, which is a great living if you're a regular person, but if you're a basketball player, it pales in comparison to what a lot of guys are making. So it's always going to be, not always, it's likely going to be the guy you don't see coming. It's not going to be Jason Tatum would have no reason to do anything or take any risk like this because he's going to make a max contract of $250 million. Jonte Porter, who's making $450,000, could find himself in a compromising position. And it's things like this with prop bets where the unders hit, where he's taking himself out of the game. I'm nervous, very nervous about this if I'm the commissioner, because this, there could be a guy like this on every team.
Well, okay, yeah, counter argument though is now we can track all these bets where that could have been happening. Why couldn't that have been happening when illegal betting was going on? Probably prop bets have grown a lot. And the other thing too is prop bets are harder to hide. I mean, if you bet on the Super Bowl, again, much harder to throw a big game. Much less money comes in on Jonte Porter props. So there is a little bit of insurance there. Like, you can't really do that. If you're a bench warmer making $400,000 and all of a sudden millions of dollars start moving on you, they're going to catch it every single time.
Right. But this happened now twice. They didn't say anything after the first game. The first game was in January, and we didn't hear a peep. Now it's been the second game, so now you got a bit of a pattern.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Temple betting scandal is way bigger because they were actually throwing games on a spread. I'd like to see the numbers. Right. They were reportedly, they're being investigated right now. I really would like to see how much money was here. How much money can you actually bet on a prop bet? So I do think you could make the argument that legalized gambling actually helps because you're going to be uncovering this kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's
possible.
That's what the league will say, and they'll say that's why they need that like 1% integrity tax and all of that stuff. I understand. I think there were some numbers on this that people started putting in, like, usually the max on a prop is like $1,000.
I think it's very widespread. It's very different in all sorts of different places.
Right.
Like, okay. I can't even, most props I can't even do in New York.
Right, but like, for example, we talked yesterday about somebody in the media who put $100,000 on Iowa versus Holy Cross. You can't put $100,000 on a prop. You can't do anything that big.
Like a draft prop. Anything, something like a draft prop where also it's not, like, somebody knows what the answer is. Or you can't, don't they limit the time of the national anthem too because there's a rehearsal before? Like, there's definitely, like, these are not normal bets.
So we're talking about Jonte Porter. He is a player for the Toronto Raptors who's now being investigated. He's a bench warmer who's under props, points, rebounds, assists, came in and unusual betting activity around his unders, and he had taken himself out of the game because of an illness and re-aggravating an eye injury, not because he got taken out of the game by the coaches. According to this ESPN article, multiple betting accounts attempted to bet large amounts, upwards of $10,000 and $20,000 on Porter's unders in the January game against the LA Clippers. Betting limits on player props vary by sportsbook and customer, but are typically around $1,000 to $2,000. So now you're getting a $10,000, $20,000 bet on whether or not Jonte Porter is going to get five rebounds in a game, or a parlay of five rebounds, like, you know, 8 points and three assists or something.
Right.
Fishy.
Totally. But again, we're talking $10,000 and $20,000. How much do you think you're moving on the tournament games? $100 million?
Yeah, crazy.
So I do think... Yeah, this is a very embarrassing one, but I think the league's going to say, listen, we caught this guy immediately. You and I said the same thing last night. I'm like, how obvious was this move? Did he think he was going to get away with this?
I think, again, maybe you're desperate. 855-212-4CBS. All right, let's hit the phones. Bill's in California wants to talk about Shohei. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how you guys doing today? And just in case I don't talk to you later, happy Easter week to you guys.
Oh, thank you. Same to you. Hope it's a great one. What's your thoughts on Ohtani?
Hey, this whole Ohtani thing is it stinks like rotten fish. I mean, I'm sorry. Ohtani has accountants and all this other stuff, though. He knows exactly what's going on with his money, his bank account. He knows where things are going. I believe whether he was the ultimate gambler or whatever, but I think his buddy there were in cahoots together. And I also think his little message he came out with, and unfortunately we can't read him because he has an interpreter saying everything, so we can't see his body language or his movements. But I also believe the MBL is kind of hiding behind because he's right now the face of Major League Baseball, and Goodell doesn't want pie in his face, you know. And
yeah,
I'm sorry, Parlop, I think you're dead wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't think you've been more wrong ever, but this is all on Ohtani. And as far as I'm concerned, because there's something going on, because I'm a Pete Rose fan, I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I know he gambled, I get it, I understand. But let's don't forget, when this first came out, Pete Rose also said, I did not bet on baseball. And,
right,
you know,
he lied.
It's just, and then if you're going to let Ohtani stay in, then Pete Rose needs to go into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
that's how I feel.
Yep.
That's what I know.
Bill,
that's what's showing.
I get it. And I know the Pete Rose fans, and Bill, thank you for the call, are out in full effect. Now, Bill does make a good point about the accountants, right? Like, you know, you're seeing these massive wire transfers that might be unusual activity, especially if you said, hey, like, who's this going to? But again, we've seen this happen a lot of times before where famous people get money taken from them by people close to them. Yes, EJ?
Yeah, I mean, that part is interesting in terms of the accountants, because I think one thing we haven't really talked about is Ohtani was described as this almost, I don't want to say money guru, but when he did that deferment, there was this idea that it was like, he's thinking 10 steps ahead. He's thinking, well, if I could avoid these taxes and do this, this, and that, I should get more money on the back end. And we broke down all the stuff about why he would take these deferments and why maybe this was this really shrewd financial move. It is a leap to go from this guy made this incredibly shrewd, bold financial move to he knows nothing about any money being transferred, where the money's coming from, where it's going. Nobody's contacting him about where the money is going. Like, that is a leap that I do find hard to believe. If just a month ago, 2 months ago, we were like, oh, he's got this whole thing figured out. Well, he's telling teams it's how he's going to deal with his money.
It's a little like, oh, and now he's just like la-di-da, you know, walking through life, no idea what's in the bank account, no idea whether the money's coming or going. And maybe it's because the amounts are so big, but even David Sampson, the former president of the Marlins who joined us earlier, said, even for big amounts, you still notice $500,000 wire transfers. You still would notice, you know, an accumulation of $4.5 million.
Or maybe somebody knew this was coming down the pike and said, let's defer the money. You guys, if you're going to go, he's lying. Wow. I mean, why not get really nefarious here? Because kind of Deshaun Watson style.
What, and how would that help him?
I don't know, because you can't get, I mean, he's only making $2 million this year, gets suspended for a year, he's going to lose $2 million.
Oh, right, okay.
I mean, that's a move as old as time. I mean, he probably will be put on leave at some point. It's possible.
I think so.
And at least he's not going to lose any money.
I just wonder if he gets suspended because of this, I get the feeling this thing is really unraveled. And you're looking at, like, because you said yesterday he was so definitive in how he didn't bet and he's the victim of this crime. You know, if it turns out any of this is wrong, he's got major issues that might go beyond just a suspension.
Well, I mean, if he had said nothing and let it sort of sit there, then I don't know if MLB has an exemption list like the NFL does. The NFL probably would have said, hey, let's sit until we figure this out. MLB might not do that. You have a good point. Now that he's like laid it out there, I am 100% innocent. Any proof of guilt? I don't think that proof is coming. I mean, you guys are so certain he's lying. You're telling me in this day and age, like, nobody can catch him?
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You are welcome to weigh in on Ohtani. You can vote on our poll. Do you believe Ohtani was telling the truth yesterday? Coming up, the NFL makes a big change with one of its rules, and I think this is going to be really annoying and awful for us fans. We'll get to that next. Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. NFL owners meetings still going on. Coaches are talking right now. Mike McCarthy of the Cowboys is sitting around a table, so it should be interesting news coming out of there because they haven't done anything. But the NFL owners did pass an interesting rule. They are banning the swivel hip drop tackle. Tackle that got a lot of attention last year. For example, the Ravens' Mark Andrews got hurt on it. It's a tackle where usually the defender comes in from the side and he quote-unquote unweights himself when he brings down the guy. So basically you grab him around the waist and you drop your body weight to the ground and bring the runner with you to the ground. And a lot of data shows that there are quite severe injuries that come from that. So the NFL is banning that. And I got to be honest, Maggie, the reception has not been great by NFL fans that I'm seeing so far on social media.
Okay, so this is why it's so beyond frustrating, the NFL and its rule book. This is already a problem, and now you're adding multiple layers on top of it. May I just read a quote to you from Rich McKay from the Atlanta Falcons, who's the chairman of the competition committee, about what just happened yesterday with the banning of this type of tackle. He said, quote, "This isn't an elimination of hip drop. This is an elimination of a swivel technique that doesn't get used very often, and when it's used, it's incredibly injurious to the runner. The runner is purely defenseless." That's well-intentioned, just like all these rule changes, but can I tell you what I think is going to happen here? Mm-hmm. I think you're asking the referees to make yet another judgment call that is really difficult, that they don't really have an answer for how in the moment are these refs going to do this. Like, it's one thing if you want to do it after the fact and you want to comb through the all 22 and you want to send fines to guys like on Tuesday and Wednesday. But in the moment, this is going to be another judgment call that carries with it a 15-yard penalty. And you know what's going to happen is this is either going to stall. This is going to keep a drive alive for a team, you know, in the fourth quarter on a game-winning drive. And I do think that it's going to make an impact on games. And I think they're going to call it a lot early on to try to send a message or, you know, overemphasize it at first and then sort of, you know, taper it off.
Right. But is it any different than horse collar tackle or roughing the passer and other rules that people have issues with that they think are unfair advantages to the offense? Because all those rules came in and they are absolutely unfair advantages to the offense. And it's harder to play defense than ever. And guess what's happening? The NFL gets more popular every year somehow. So I don't think there's any concern. I don't think the league cares. I think they do want this to be safer. They don't want to lose their stars. They're afraid that a quarterback's going to be scrambling and someone's going to swivel hip drop and take him out for the year.
Yeah.
So I think, yes, it's going to be confusing. It's going to be annoying. The team that gets it called against it, are they going to complain? We'll all be on Twitter saying that was a terrible call. What are they doing? It's just going to work. It's going to work big picture because all these safety rules are helping the offense, which means more ratings. And at least, you know, the NFL is probably in the right here saying we want to keep the players safer.
Yeah, spare me with the NFL wants to keep the players
safer. They want to keep their stars on the field.
Okay, well, they also want a 17th game and they want an 18th game and they want as much and more as humanly possible. So they want to keep the players safe.
They want to keep their quarterbacks on the field. Okay. They want their skill position players on the field. That's what this is about.
Okay, that's fine, but don't hit me with they want to keep the players safer. Like, if they did, they wouldn't have a 17th game, and they're probably going to go to an 18th game if they can. And what happens? We've got 60 quarterbacks take snaps in during the course of a league year anyway. So I don't know if this stuff is working.
I feel like... I don't know. It's big deal. You're adding a 17th game of football.
And it's Thursday.
This is like college football. Oh, come on.
And now they're going to Brazil. And you can't get grass fields.
Why are you complaining about more football? Bring me more. Play 20 and play every 3 days. I don't care.
Listen, that's fine if you want more football, but don't tell me the league is doing all these things simply because they care so much about player safety when they only want to add games. Also,
they want to keep their quarterbacks on the field. That's exactly what this is about.
If you really cared about keeping players on the field, every field would be grass. And they won't do that because why? It costs too much money for the owners, and they don't want to do it. So they're doing all these other things that just annoy fans because you're going to, again, have more. It's all going to be about the refs. How often do we talk about the refs? It's so annoying. And it's so, like, you have to be Einstein to figure out the NFL rulebook. It shouldn't be this crazy.
Yeah, but all these rules of the last 10 years kind of fall into that category. And I mean, is it ruined the experience? Not at all.
Well, this, I think, could have a chance of being the type of rule like the defensive pass interference that after that Saints game against the Rams, everyone's up in arms about this, and they do this whole thing about it, and it lasted for a year.
Okay, what's the safety rule that's gotten repealed?
Well, they might not, but I'm not saying it's not going to be annoying.
Yeah, you're right, but it definitely will be annoying and people are going to complain, but generally the quarterback hits have been ridiculous. I mean, they're totally insane what they're calling a roughing the passer. And guess what? The NFL has, if anything, doubled down on those rules. They do not care about the complaints and the ratings keep going up and up and up. And the offense took a step back last year, so I'm not surprised they have an anti-defense rule here. This is just the way it is, and it's going to work because it's the NFL.
Listen, and I don't want guys out there getting more hurt. I just ask you, do all these rules that are supposed to keep, let's say, quarterbacks a lot healthier, are they working? Because I'm watching Tyson Bagent play against God knows who and God knows who, and you need three quarterbacks to get through a season anyway. So I just would say, I think that has more to do with the length of the season, and I think these injuries have more to do with the length of the season than they do this particular swivel hip drop versus another type of illegal tackle.
You have data on that?
I mean, how many quarterbacks? You love third string quarterback. Here's my data. Nathan Peterman's still in the league. There's my data for you right there.
I mean, there's one extra game. Do you really think Nathan Peterman's there because they went from 17 to 16? And also, I don't think Peterman's on a squad right now.
Okay. I think it's the frequency with which you play and also the lengthening of the season.
Well, the frequency is very similar.
But I'm saying, like, sometimes, you know, that we talk about this when the schedule comes out, which teams get schedule advantages. who gets the schedule rest advantage. That's a huge thing, especially in betting and sports media. I mean, it's just a fact. Like teams that have more rest between days end up doing better in a game. Why do we think? We don't think resting your injuries has anything to do with that?
Well, if you're looking at quarterback injuries, no, because I think that it's probably been quite similar throughout the history of the NFL, the rest amount. I don't think it's radically different.
Then why do people gun so hard for the number one seed in their division to get that bye week?
Right, right. But it's always been that way.
Both seeds used to get bye weeks. You don't think the rest has anything to do with performance?
I think they basically been playing games on Sundays for 80 years.
And Wednesdays? Thursdays and Mondays and Sundays.
Overall, it's just not that. Yeah, I mean, they've been playing Monday since
Monday
1971.
Forever, but they haven't been playing it in Germany.
I just don't think that that's such an overall significant difference. The rest is so different. I mean, obviously, if you want to look at quarterback injuries, quarterbacks are holding onto the ball and trying to make plays more. Tom Brady never got hurt because he got rid of the ball before the guy
Tom Brady had a devastating knee injury that took him out for a year. But yes, he had major health throughout his career.
Yeah, because he got rid of the ball. You're probably right. One thing, the irony, these roughing the passer rules mean the quarterback should hold on the ball and take more hits. So he does get hurt. But I think the running quarterback trend is obviously affecting the health of the quarterbacks. You can't. I mean, Lamar Jackson, it was kind of a miracle that he stayed healthy last year. That's not been the way it has been. But regardless, I mean, I think NFL, you can't say that all of a sudden it's a different game than it was in 1985 because you have to play one Thursday night game.
No. We're talking about the hip drop tackle and other things that are brought into quote unquote. You said you think it's, to make the game safer. And I'm saying, I think the real two things that they're addressing that would make the game safer is not having the season be so long and give grass fields like the players are begging you to do. They won't do that because those things cost money. And those things are, the owners don't want to do those things because not having that extra game costs you money and putting in these fields could cost you money. But they'll do the margins here with these tackles and different things and put more onus on the referees and make it a worse product to watch because it doesn't cost them a damn thing. Well, in fact, they make money off of it because they fine guys. And I know that goes to a charitable thing with the NFL. But the amount of fines from 5 years ago to now has almost tripled.
Right. Ironically, it'll make it a better product because we'll have more touchdowns. And that's all anyone wants to see. There's no way. There's nothing
about it. Do you have data on that? Are you sure this is going to cause more touchdowns?
I would assume. By definition, any rule that hurts the defense will help the offense.
Well, you just said that it was also, though, this was one of the most watched NFL seasons, and this also was a season where scoring was down.
But trust me, the trend of more scoring has definitely helped the NFL.
It didn't help last year.
Been down the last couple of years.
Perloff, last year.
You're telling me all these rules to help the offense haven't helped the scoring?
No, I'm telling what you're saying.
Oh, you're talking about in a macro?
Yeah.
Well, you can't get guys off the line of scrimmage anymore. This has been a drip, drip, drip. I mean, there's been a lot of rules that have changed.
Yeah, this too high safety look is causing some problems. But the offenses will adjust and the officials will adjust. And trust me, the offense will be back.
Andrew Bogish is here with headlines while we talk about NFL rule changes. What else is going on in the world?
Well, we've got a gleeful Pearl text in the group yesterday when the Spurs ruled out Victor Wembanyama for last night's visit from the Suns with an ankle issue. He's on 63 games played, and we're late in the regular season, so the door is slightly ajar for Wemby to not play the required 65 games to win Rookie of the Year. His resume took a further hit when the Spurs upset those Suns without him.
Sohan for three. Oh, my goodness! The globe is good!
Bally Sports, San Antonio, short but sweet. Jeremy Sohan, the clinching three in a 104-102 final. He finished with 26 points and 18 boards. Suns head coach Frank Vogel called the loss unacceptable.
You give a team like that life, and that's how the NBA works. They get going, they get charged up, they start believing they have a chance to win it. And credit those guys. With Victor out, those guys played really well.
What a night for Chet Holmgren. He does nothing, and Wemby takes two hits.
So he's got 10 games left. We need him to play two more games.
And he's probably going to play tomorrow against Utah.
Sprained ankle seems like a load management injury. That's not real, right?
No. What? Sprained ankle is not real?
Not real enough to sit him for the season. I don't know.
Correct. Well, you're grasping at straws here.
For sure. Yeah. But
if it was a key game, obviously you could wrap that sucker up and get out there. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
There will be no key games. The Spurs have won 16 all season.
Every time you load manage, now you have to make up an excuse. So it could be a sprained ankle might be just kind of fake, right? Everyone's ankles are a little sore at this point of the season.
So you're still prepping to drive to San Antonio.
No, I wonder, No, because I don't think it's a real injury.
Okay, so
I think he'll be back by the next game.
Okay, so Perloff still prepping to make the trip, driving to San Antonio to apologize to Wembanyama for calling him Wembanyama.
And when I was in Milwaukee last week, I asked, it is not on the way to San Antonio. So you don't need to go to Milwaukee.
Yeah. Well, Milwaukee really wasn't on my bingo card. Okay.
You were going through the Midwest, so you were close.
Yeah, I mean, once you're in Chicago, you might as well swoop into Milwaukee.
Right. But still, wait, I don't know why you guys care. What's the difference how I go? Why did that guy make you say that? I have to go the most efficient way?
Well, yeah. Bogish wants to go with you, so that's why he was interested in your route.
Originally, yes.
I thought you didn't want to go anymore.
I don't want to go anymore, no. Now I'm just bothered by your idea that you can go across the country and hook a left and somewhere in the middle to get to San Antonio.
Yeah, I think technically you can.
Technically you can, but just not the way I think most people would go.
I think you're trying to get time away from us. That's why I'm upset.
It's 29 hours compared to 26 hours. I think everyone will survive.
There's no way that's true. I know we keep doing that Google Maps thing. Yeah. I'm sorry. It doesn't compute.
I'm with
you. You're only losing 3 hours. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I was shocked. When I put in the Google Maps, I thought I was going to get at least 5 or 6 hours minimum. But it says 3 hours difference. I was as surprised as anybody.
I don't know what map you guys are looking at. It's not that far out of the way.
Chicago from New York City.
There you go.
From San Antonio.
Texas.
The point is you have to go west at some point and you have to go south at some point. So you're going west to Chicago.
Right, but like logic says you should just go southwest the whole time, not west and
well,
then
yeah,
south.
But you probably wouldn't even do that. You'd probably go down the coast, go south, because you want to hit Charlotte, of course, get some barbecue, say hello to some friends in Atlanta, come through the Big Easy, get some food. You're not going to go straight.
Yeah,
what doesn't make sense is that Chicago to New York alone is a 12-hour drive. So where we're getting this is only you're going 12 hours out of your way,
right?
In itself, I know what Google Maps is doing when you do the three trips, but it doesn't make sense to me. You're going 12 hours out of your way, but somehow you only lose 3 hours driving to where you're trying to go.
You understand it's not out of your way, right?
You have to go west anyway, but again, to Bogus's point, you could be going south and west at the same time, and instead of going down the coast and going to Atlanta and Charlotte, you could just be going through Tennessee, and you could really be making good time.
Yeah,
yeah, but I think you run into the mountains, and I'm not sure the highway system is set up for that. I've never heard of anybody.
Covered wagon.
I think you want to go down 95. Yet?
I've done a lot of road trips. Like, you wouldn't just cut through... That's not the direction you would go.
Washington, D.C., down through Nashville, down through Tennessee, and then continue on to San Antonio.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You've studied the highway maps?
I did for when I was looking this up, and I was surprised.
when you were a hobo.
When I was trekking across the railroad
line. Listen. I mean, first of all, too, you got to worry about traffic. Am I going to hit rush hour in Pittsburgh? There's a lot going on here, people.
I know, because traffic in Chicago, I'm sure, is a breeze.
Whatever. You want me to go over? You sending me through. I have no idea where.
You're sending you, as EJ said, the crux of this problem is that you just want to be on the road as long as possible. That's right. What we're not accounting for, is you're not trying to be efficient.
Yeah, you want to just take your time.
Yeah.
Right. We should have known that.
Yeah.
Which the whole point of this is you're supposed to be as uncomfortable as possible.
Exactly.
And you're trying to make this comfortable by, I'm going to take a day here.
I'm adding.
Gonna eat barbecue here. That's not, this is a punishment.
I'm adding 7% time to this trip. You guys are making it sound like I'm visiting Spokane, Washington, and going out of Vegas, betting with Shohei, and then looping around via Mexico to San Antonio. This is a perfectly fine route.
You're going to meet up with Ipe in Argentina somewhere. Where else is no extradition? It's going to be a hell of a ride.
Caitlin Clark scored 32 to drag Iowa into the Sweet 16, 64-54 over West Virginia. Now the Hawkeyes head to Albany to face Colorado this weekend. UCLA took the other spot next to LSU in that corner of the bracket, a 67-63 win over Creighton last night. And Paige Beckers, 32 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, and UConn's 72-64 win over Syracuse. The Huskies face Duke in the Sweet 16 in Portland on Friday. And on ice last night, the Canucks failed to become the first team to clinch a playoff spot this season, losing at home to the Kings 3-2. L.A. has won 4 in a row. I am very good at putting typos in there to mess me up on purpose. Guys, back to you.
Well, have you heard of our favorite band, Midnight Dexties, Midnight Runners, with their hit song, Come On Clean.
Come Clean.
Come Clean. Or Come On Eileen.
I love it. It's all good. Good song. Good song.
It is a great song. Coming up, thank you, Bogish. Here's a question. What are the Raiders doing at quarterback? We will answer that next. Don't move.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DoD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. All right, Defensive Player of the Week. Maggie, we got to get it this week. We haven't really figured out what EJ is going to pick. We have the tournament. There have been some big defensive plays, some big blocks. I have no idea.
Oh, man.
I would say our defensive team, Houston, scored 100 points last night, beat someone 195. Last night, there were some key blocks. Someone had a big block in the Iowa game.
Yeah, so that was actually the moment of the game where things were hanging in the balance. It was a tie game with about 2 minutes left, and now I'm blanking on the young woman's name. She's only 5'9", and she blocked a three-pointer. Yeah.
I mean,
they go the other way, and...
Yeah, clock was running. For about that 100th time, West Virginia couldn't get a shot off before the shot clock ended because they're terrible at offense and still almost beat Iowa. Anyway, yeah, I go with the Iowa blocker.
I think I should be writing this down in the moment because now we've watched so many games over the last couple days. I think that it's going to be, did you go with Zach Edey? Just because, I mean, 3 blocks in the game against Utah State. Edey's been a little bit under fire by me because I said before the tournament start that if he doesn't have a good run, his college career has been a bit of a disappointment. Though I wonder if EJ would have picked Zach Edey because we've been talking about him a lot.
I don't know. He said beat Utah State?
Only 14 rebounds in the game. Okay. I'm going to go with Edey.
Okay. Well, first of all, that Iowa blocker is Gabby Marshall.
Thank you, Gabby.
She did not win Defensive Player of the Week this week. Defensive Player of the Week this week is UConn center Donovan Clingan, who had 8 blocks in UConn's win over Northwestern, 75-58. 8 blocks. He also had 14 rebounds in the game. If you're looking at NBA draft prospects, Clingan is probably one of the best left in this tournament. So Clingan gets my vote for Defensive Player of the Week, an absolute dominant performance, one of the best defensive performances we've seen all season in college basketball. Donovan Clingan, your Defensive Player of the Week.
All right. Can't get mad at it. UConn has been extremely impressive through the first 2 rounds. Has all of the 1 seeds. Basically, Houston had to hang on in the last round, but the 1 seeds have been amazing.
I feel like I'm not going to get that bracket right. I don't think Auburn's going to be able to upset UConn here. I did tweet out. I was super nervous about that Yale game with the officials handed to Yale. But Auburn did match up against UConn. You never know. You never know. Like, if Auburn survived that game, I think they could have beaten UConn.
Eternal optimist that you are.
Yeah, if I could do it again, I think UConn looks like the most impressive team. Not a hot take.
No, they look really, really good. And we get back to games on Thursday. Do we have time to get to Antonio Pierce here? Sure. Let's hear it from Antonio Pierce, the Raiders head coach. Can I have cut 14, please, Pete? He was impressed with J.J. McCarthy, thinks he's going to go real high.
I think it's a very talented group. I mean, we interviewed most of those guys at the combine, had great conversations with them. J.J. McCarthy, you're talking about a national champion, a winner. So I don't know how he's not in the top 3, if you want to be honest.
And this is how the J.J. McCarthy odds go skyrocketing, that he could be linked and now is being linked to the Commanders at 2. Okay. Pierce on his own situation at the Raiders, what he likes about Aiden O'Connell and how he could get better.
Taking care of the football, managing the game, putting points on the board. I would love to see him become more vocal, right? Is he ever going to become a runner? No, not going to happen. That's okay. But there's other ways that you can do that and move around in the pocket. I think he's done a great job this offseason, being in the building, staying in the Las Vegas area, and really working on it.
Okay. So the Raiders, obviously, that's not a ringing endorsement for Aiden O'Connell. You know, that's not him saying, man, this is his job. We feel like we can develop him. No, the Raiders at 13 have to be looking quarterback. The question is, will they make a big move to try to go up and get a guy they like?
Well, do they really have to? You know, they could say, we're going to wait on it because Antonio Pierce, we really believe in him. They have Gardner Minshew, obviously, who got to 9-7 last year with the Colts. The Minshew-O'Connell marriage, I could see them going that way. I don't like it. I would draft Michael Penix in a heartbeat to throw to Davante Adams downfield. But they're probably looking at last year saying, you know what, Minshew is good enough to win in Indy. They did not have a wildly talented team. We have a little more talent maybe on defense with Max Crosby. Maybe we can win 10 games with this guy. Okay, it's possible.
But so then what's the plan, though? Because Gardner Minshew is not your plan. That's your Band-Aid.
This is the Raiders.
I know, but at some point they have to get a quarterback.
Yeah, I would draft a quarterback, but I think the fact that they have Minshew and O'Connell, they might say O'Connell's a developmental guy, Minshew's a veteran. They might.
Then you're basically telling your fan base, we're mailing it in this year. We have no shot of beating the Chiefs.
Well, you could get to the playoffs with Gardner Minshew.
Big if. Big if in the AFC. You'd be in a big quarterback deficit when you're looking at some of the other arms in that conference. Coming up, the latest with J.J. McCarthy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.